Picture a hangar on the edge of Lake Champlain in South Burlington, Vermont. Snow outside, and inside an airplane that looks like someone took a sleek little commuter, gave it a long straight wing, and then bolted four propellers facing straight up on top of it. No tilting, no transforming. Just an airplane that also happens to be able to jump straight off the ground. I'm Vector. This is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. And today we are going to talk about the electric aircraft company that looked at everybody else building air taxis and quietly decided to do it the hard way. Or maybe the easy way. That is the whole argument, and by the end of this you'll be able to make the call yourself. Let's break this down. The company is Beta Technologies. The aircraft is called the Alia. And the design choice they made is the single most important thing about them. So that is where we are going to spend our time. Before I get into it, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey, one coin at a time. Beautifully made, built to last, and honestly, the kind of thing you keep in your flight bag for years. That's AviationSoul.com. Alright, so when most people picture an air taxi, they picture the tilt rotor, propellers that point up for takeoff, then rotate forward to become cruise props once you're moving. That's the approach a lot of the big names took, and it's seductive, because in theory, it's the best of both worlds. The same propellers that lift you also pull you forward, so you're not carrying any dead weight. Beta did not do that. Beta built what engineers call a lift plus cruise configuration, and the difference is exactly what it sounds like. You have one set of propellers whose only job is lift, four of them, mounted on booms above the wing, spinning on a vertical axis. And then you have a completely separate propeller at the very back, a pusher, whose only job is to push you forward in cruise. Two jobs. Two dedicated systems. Nothing rotates, nothing transforms. When the Alia takes off vertically, the four lift props do all the work. Then the tail pusher spins up, the airplane accelerates, and once there's enough air moving over that big fixed wing, the wing takes over and the lift props just spin down. From that point on, it flies like a normal airplane, because it basically is one. Here's what most people miss about that choice. The tilt rotor is more efficient in cruise. That part is true. When your lifting propellers become your cruising propellers, you're not hauling around motors and blades that are just sitting there dead in forward flight. On a lift plus cruise design, those four vertical props are pure drag and pure deadweight the entire time you're in cruise. You lifted them off the ground, and now they're a penalty. That's the cost. That is a real, honest cost, and Beta pays it on every single flight. So why on earth would you accept that penalty? One word, certification. The data tells an interesting story here, and it's a story about failure modes. Every time you add a mechanism that moves, that rotates, that has to transition from one state to another while you're hanging in the air. You add a way for things to go wrong. A tilt rotor has to nail that transition from vertical lift to forward flight. There's a window in there, that in-between moment, where the aircraft is neither a helicopter nor an airplane, and the flight control system has to blend the two perfectly. It can be done, it has been done, but proving to the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, that it will be done safely 10 million times in a row in gusty wind with a failed motor is an enormous mountain to climb. Beta looked at that mountain and said, what if we just delete it? No tilt mechanism means no tilt mechanism to fail. The lift system and the cruise system are independent. If you lose a lift motor, you still have the others, and they're all doing the simple, well-understood thing that propellers have done for 100 years. Point at the sky, make thrust. There's no clever transition to get wrong, because nothing physically changes shape. That is the bet. Trade a little cruise efficiency for a lot of simplicity, and hope that simplicity gets you certified and carrying passengers before the clever designs finish arguing with the regulator. Now, the man behind this is worth a minute. Kyle Clark. Engineer, former professional hockey player, the kind of person who flies his own aircraft and test flies his own company's prototypes, and the founding story is genuinely a good one. The whole thing started because a research group working on artificial organ transport wanted a way to move a payload quietly, cleanly, and land it in tight spaces. Not a flashy air taxi over the city pitch, a logistics problem. Move this thing from here to there without a runway. And I think that origin shaped the whole company, because Beta has been unusually practical the entire way through. Here's the clearest example of that practicality, and it's the part I really want you to hear, because it's smart. Beta didn't just build the vertical takeoff Alia. They built a second version that takes off and lands conventionally on a runway like any other airplane. They call it the CX-300. Same airframe, same electric powertrain, same batteries and motors and cockpit. But they took the four vertical lift props off, and now it's just a clean electric airplane that rolls down a runway and flies. Think about what that does for them. The conventional version is dramatically easier to certify because now you've removed the entire vertical takeoff question from the FAA's desk. It's an airplane. We know how to certify airplanes. So Beta can get that flying, get it earning revenue, get real hours on the batteries and the motors and the cooling systems in actual commercial service, all while the harder vertical takeoff certification works its way through the pipeline. They flew that conventional aircraft on long cross-country trips, piloted real miles, up and down the East Coast, hopping between airports, and every one of those flights is data, real-world data on how an electric powertrain holds up when you actually use it day after day instead of babying it around a test range. That is the move of a company that wants to be in business in 5 years, not just in the headlines this week. Now let's be balanced, because I promised you honest, and there are real problems here. The first one is the one every electric aircraft shares, and there is no getting around it. Batteries. Energy density. A tank of jet fuel carries something like 40 to 50 times the energy per pound that the best aviation batteries carry today. 40 to 50 times. That is not a gap you close with a clever wing or a good marketing deck. That is chemistry, and chemistry moves slowly. It's getting better a few percent a year, reliably, but a few percent a year does not turn into a transcontinental electric airliner anytime this decade. So, the range numbers you see quoted for aircraft like this, and Beta talks about a cruise range in the low hundreds of miles under the right conditions. Those are real, but they describe short hops, airport to airport across a metro area, cargo runs between regional fields, medical logistics. This is not your airplane to Denver. Anybody who tells you eVTOL replaces the airlines is selling something. Second problem, that cruise penalty we talked about is not free, and in a world where every watt hour is precious because your energy source is so limited, carrying four dead propellers through cruise hurts more than it would on a gas airplane. Beta made a defensible bet, but they made it knowing they'd be leaving efficiency on the table forever. The tilt rotor crowd is betting the other way, that the efficiency matters more than the certification pain. Both bets are reasonable. We genuinely do not know yet which one wins. Third, and this is the one nobody likes to talk about, infrastructure. An electric aircraft is only as useful as your ability to charge it, and there is no established network of aircraft chargers sitting at airports waiting for you. Beta actually took this one on directly. They've been building their own charging stations, physical charge sites at airports, and they designed the system to be open, so it isn't just their own aircraft that can plug in. That's genuinely forward-thinking, but it also tells you how early we are. When your aircraft company also has to become an electric utility company to have anywhere to land, you are building the road and the car at the same time. So, what's the honest timeline? Here's how I'd frame it. The conventional, runway-based electric aircraft is the near-term real thing. Cargo, training, short regional work, that's arriving first, and Beta's version of it is already flying long distances with a pilot on board. The vertical takeoff passenger air taxi buzzing you across a city is further out. Certification of a brand new category of aircraft is measured in years, not months, and the FAA is being careful, as they should be, because the first time one of these hurts someone, the whole industry pays for it. And who's building it, besides Beta? This is a crowded field. You've got the tilt rotor companies chasing the efficient, complicated path. You've got other lift plus cruise players. You've got autonomous programs skipping the pilot entirely. Beta sits in an interesting spot because they are arguably the least flashy and the most grounded cargo customers. A shipping giant on the order book, medical and logistics use cases. An actual charging network in the ground, a conventional aircraft earning its keep while the fancy one gets certified. Here's what I keep coming back to as an engineer. The history of aviation is full of elegant designs that lost to boring ones. The most efficient concept on paper does not always win. The one that's simple enough to build reliably, cheap enough to operate, and safe enough to certify. That's the one that ends up on the ramp. Beta is making a bet that in a brand new field, boring and provable beats clever and complicated. They might be wrong. The tilt rotor might crack certification and win on efficiency and leave Lyft plus Cruise looking like the flip phone of air taxis. That is entirely possible. But if you want to know which of these companies is thinking like the people who actually built the airplanes you and I fly, the ones who valued a system you can trust over a spec sheet you can brag about, well, watch the one that made its aircraft as simple as it possibly could, and then built the gas station too. My reporting today leans on Beta Technology's own published flight testing and specifications, along with FAA guidance on how this whole new category is being certified. You can always find more of what we cover over at RadioHangar.com. That's the segment! Next time somebody shows you a rendering of an air taxi, don't ask how fast it goes. Ask what has to move for it to fly. The answer tells you almost everything. I'm Vector. Keep your system simple and your questions hard.